Om Shanti. So we have a short class on going beyond the desire for name, respect, honor, recognition. So nobody has desire for that, right? Does anybody want those things? Anyone? So let's take a look at it on the most subtle level. For example, when you come in the line to take toli from Dadi and she doesn't look at you and you feel cheated, that's called having a desire for recognition. Right? Yes? It is. And when someone wants you to fulfill your social contract, and we'll talk a little bit about what that social contract is, someone wants you to fulfill your social contract and you don't want to do it, because you say, why should I? That's a desire for recognition. Yes or not? Yes. Your social contract is something like, you know, when you come to Baba and you say, I would like to do service and give the return for all of the sustenance and teachings and so on that I'm receiving, but you want to do it on your terms, not on Baba's terms, then that's a desire for recognition. Or you do something and you feel that you weren't appreciated. Have you ever had that experience? You do something and you feel that you weren't appreciated. So that feeling is actually a desire for recognition. And so this desire, though we would say to ourselves, well, I don't have that, it's a kind of ego. And of course, ego is quite invisible. And if you look at yourself, you will say, well, you know, this class must be for other people, not for me, because I don't have this problem. Because we know intellectually that we should not have desire for that. And so then we say to ourselves, well, if you shouldn't have it, then you don't have it. And this is why we have to go a little more subtly, and why Baba will very often give us indicators how we can know. And Baba wants us to check ourselves very deeply, check, and then change. So this session is really part of the silence bhati. And I was with the group from Poland who are also having silence day today. So we were talking about silence and what happens in silence and why it is valuable to give oneself the experience of silence. And I was sharing with them an opportunity that I had many, many years ago when I was a very new Brahma Kumari. So I was quite young, in my 20s. And I had gone to the States to participate in the beginning of service there. And so I arrived in San Francisco, and the sister that I was with was very quickly assigned to a different city. So I was by myself, and it was that season where there's a lot of rain. And so we got a very, very small apartment. And we didn't have any money. We didn't know anyone. And we just had this idea that we're going to make heaven on earth, right? Because Baba says, so we will do that. This was in the 70s. And so long, long time ago. And so what to do, you know? So I decided, okay, well, the first few years of Gyan was the 14 years Bhati. And they did a lot of meditation. So I said, I will do meditation. And so I thought, well, I'll do 14 hours a day and for 90 days. So now you would never get that opportunity. But that time everything was so new and we didn't have any way to do service. So I started this silence. I didn't call it a silence bhati, but there was nobody else there, so it had to be a silence bhati. There was nobody to talk to. And we had just enough food to eat and just enough to handle the rent, which was, I think, $200 a month or something really small for that time, you know. And so I would sit, you know, early morning and then read the Murli to the walls and then, you know, the whole morning and then have a little lunch and then the whole afternoon and then a little supper and then the whole evening. And like that for 3 months. And so you have to go in silence, you have to go deep. You have to go inside. And what happens in silence is that whatever is your sort of deeply hidden material that needs to not be there, that will come to the surface, you see. And so I experienced all the various different feelings and emotions and so on, all coming up. And then you have to use the power of silence to dissipate these and make them disappear. And they just keep coming, and then you make them disappear, and they keep coming, and you make them disappear. And so one of the things that can come up when you are doing a silence bhati is these desires, and they're very subtle, and they don't present themselves to us as desire for respect and honor and appreciation. But the word appreciation is quite a good one, because you do something and you feel good about yourself. You do some spiritual act, and then you look around for some applause of some sort. Or sometimes you get an assignment from some senior. They say, okay, you do this thing, and then you do it, and you feel happy with yourself, and you expect them to say, oh, well, thanks very much. You did what you were supposed to do, so that was good. And then if they don't, you feel slighted, you see. And I've heard this in different conversations, different groups. So at least we should be appreciated, you know, because it's normal in this world. You have to be appreciated for what you do. And if no one appreciates you, then that's not spiritual. So in that way, we import our old sanskaras and our old attitudes into Gyan, and we have our own idea about what's spiritual, and it actually may not correspond with what Baba is teaching us. And you know that the teachings that we are studying are sometimes called the true Gita knowledge. And I don't know how many of you have read the Gita, but it's very, very interesting. And it talks very much about yoga and about spiritual practice. And it does say that you should do the right action and not look for any reward. Because ultimately, the purpose of the spiritual practice is to make oneself completely free from desires. So the word is ignorant of desire, iccha mataram avidya. So having no knowledge, no awareness of what a desire is. I need somebody to turn off that noise on the telephone. But nobody's going to, it's just there. So there are many things that we could desire. But desiring fame, desiring to be appreciated, to be loved, to be honored, to be respected, you know. And sometimes it happens to us, we will be invited somewhere, we will go as a chief guest somewhere or the honored guest in some place. And then you arrive there and they will put garlands around your neck and they will put a tikka on your forehead and they will put rose petals where you're walking and they will give you all sorts of gifts and they will, you know, stand around you ooing and aahing and they will listen to your every word as if you are greater even than God, you know. All this kind of thing. Some of you must have experienced this. And then you go back home and then nobody's doing that because they know that you're just another human soul. And then you feel, oh, you know, it's much nicer when I'm out on service because I get honor and respect and regard and gifts and appreciated and so on. So I want to do that kind of service. You see, and you can very easily actually lie to yourself about why you're doing service, you know, because we're not here for that. It may happen, it does happen a great deal, but you know, you have to be very, very independent of those things. Yeah? Because when people want you to be respected and honored. And so when you have to play that part, then you have to play that part well. But when that part is over, then you have to be completely able to fold it away into the drama and really apply a full stop. Because what we're trying to do here is tapasya, and then tyag, you see, so tyag is renunciation, and then tapasya is the intense meditation or the intense spiritual effort. And then the third word that goes with that is seva, service. So if lots of people appreciate us, we think we've done good service, and if nobody appreciates us, then we feel dejected and rejected and slighted, or we might start to have doubt in ourselves that we're only okay if everybody says we're okay. And if somebody doesn't say I'm okay, then maybe I'm not okay. So ego is such a thing that it kind of oscillates or swings between you think you're the greatest thing that ever arrived on the planet, to you have total doubt about your validity as a human being, let alone a Brahman, God's child. And so Baba talks to us about our self-respect. And so self-respect means that I know that I am a selected soul and that my name is written on Baba's heart. You heard this in the Murli. Your name is on Baba's heart. And if other people don't think about you or bring up your name or suggest you for something, just leave you out, then you should not feel anything about that, because your name is anyway on Baba's heart. And that is thousands of times more interesting than some person raising the name of you for some particular important work, you know. But if you think that you're important only when somebody says you're important, and if somebody says you're not important, then your balloon gets all deflated and you believe that you're not important, you see. So this sickness of the soul is really our relationship with Paramat, what other people say. And we get very, very influenced by that. So he says, Srimat and self-respect are very connected with each other. So Srimat is, consider yourself to be a soul, very valuable, very important soul. You are deity souls, selected by God. You are under instruction by God Himself, and you have been invited to participate in the work of the creation of the new world, the new civilization, the new cycle, you see. So that's a huge honor. Very, very high respect. And sometimes people even say, why me? I'm just a nobody. Why me? You see. So you see how we do oscillate between thinking we're nobody in particular and then thinking that, oh, nobody's recognizing us. What's wrong with them? I'm important. Or we become very interested in status symbols. Is he? I mean, what kind of badge do you have? Right? You've got all kinds of different badges, right? And then people say, you know, if you've got that kind of badge, then you must be important. So then you say, well, if I want to be important, then I have to have a certain type of badge. So you will dress up in all the right things. And he will give people a message through doing that, that they should, you know, do all the right things. And, you know, open the door for you and put you in a nice car and all of these things, you see, because then only you're important. So what happens is sometimes you get everything, sometimes you get nothing. And how you know if you are free from desire for respect, appreciation, honor, regard, is if your emotions, your feelings are exactly the same, very, very stable and steady, whether you are honored or dishonored or all of these things, these pairs of opposites. And so in the Gita it mentions that a yogi is one who is remaining in a state of equilibrium in conditions of regard and disregard, success and failure. I mean, we may do something in service which is very good, and all the people think that it's completely unnecessary, so they just trash it. How do you feel? Do you know that this is very good and I did this service by Baba's, you know, giving me an opportunity, and so I created my fortune by doing this, And if somebody trashes it or not, it's nothing to do with me. You see? So then you have to look closely at yourself and see that when you do something, you do some act, it's I, the soul, taking advantage of a service opportunity provided to me by Baba. And so the karma is between myself and Baba. Baba will give me the reward of that when he wants, if he wants, how he wants. That's the contract, you see. And so if I do something and some people don't like it, but I did not do it for their appreciation, my karma is not with them. So it's very, very important to understand that the yajna exists in order for us to become what Baba wishes us to become. And so the yajna is an instrument that makes it possible for either soul to have a karma directly with God and then indirectly with people. Whereas in the normal run of life, our karma is directly with people and very indirectly with God. So when an impure soul has karma with other impure souls, even if you're doing the best you can or you're doing charity or whatever, the consequences of that are very minimal in terms of your benefit, you see. And so we have the sanskaras of trying to fill the hole in our soul, which is the size of the universe, through getting something from other people. And of course, it's absolutely guaranteed to fail. Because no human being, no matter how much love and regard and respect and honor and gifts and praise and whatever they give, it cannot fill the hole in your soul that's the size of the universe. However, as soon as you start to draw strength and light and qualities and wisdom from Baba, that hole in your soul starts getting filled up very quickly, because he is, you know, the ocean. He is the infinite. And so what you have to get in your intellect is that by coming into jnana, you're establishing a karma between the soul and God direct. And so whatever we do following his instructions is between me and Baba. And then he says that all the rest, whatever you see, all the things, all the people, all the circumstances, all the events, this is all called drama. And drama is something that is like a 3D movie that you're watching and you're also in it, you see. Or you could also consider it to be 3D wallpaper. All the people and all the things and all the events and all the nature and everything is all this surrounding environment that I, the soul, am in, operating through this costume. But soul consciousness, or to maintain soul consciousness with this knowledge of drama, is that I, the soul, am having my relationship with one Baba. And this is what he keeps telling us. He says, manmanabhav means turn your mind to me alone. That means that we are doing everything for ourselves and in relationship with Baba. And Baba has told us that, okay, you do whatever you're doing, it's an investment. It's an investment in your future, and the return on this investment is thousands of times greater than the best possible return anyone could ever get on anything that occurs in the material world. Okay? Because what he gives us is fortune and status and honor and regard and respect for 21 generations. And if you look at the five forms that Baba's asked us to practice, the soul is worshipped, and the pure soul is worshipped as a saligram anyway. And the pure soul is the condition of the soul that's the best possible, and that is what Baba is enabling us to come into. And then that soul becomes a deity, and not just any old deity, but a world sovereign. And there is no status higher than that. And there is no place, no school, other than this, where you can study to become that. And that too, for 21 births. And there is no amount of wealth that exists in the world today that is comparable to the wealth that you personally will have as a deity. And you will have an absolutely beautiful body which never gets sick or tired or achy or shaky or any of that. And you will leave your body when you feel like it. And you will have absolutely perfect parents and an absolutely perfect world. You know, and everybody will love you fully and completely, and you will not have the slightest experience of any kind of pain or lack or anything like that. But it's only in the confluence age that you can actually realize what you have, because you have the comparison with the Iron Age. So we know the Golden Age, we know the Iron Age, and we know the Diamond Age. The Confluence Age, the Diamond Age, in which we can see clearly both sides. And because of being able to see clearly, the intellect can know what we have. And so we have to really appreciate our fortune. You see. So if we realize this, and if we keep our connection with Baba, and as Dadi Gulzar has been telling us, never let yourself be without him for even a second. And he has given a guarantee, individually and collectively, that I am always with you. At every step, at every second, in every action. And he says, use me. I am with you. Refer to me in everything that you're doing, and ensure that all your karma is with Baba directly, and then indirectly we play our role, you see. So when you do it like this, then the question of getting honor or desiring respect or regard or appreciation from another actor doesn't make any sense. Or if you look at it as 3D wallpaper, why would you want the wallpaper to appreciate you? That doesn't make any sense, you see. Because it is said, Baba is your world. Once you come to Baba, Baba becomes all relationships. And not only that, but in all of those relationships, he knows exactly how to fulfill his side of the contract. And whenever we do not fulfill our side of the contract, then he gives us a teaching or an indication so that we are then able to fulfill our side and have a completely fulfilled relationship. You see? And so the question of desire for name and fame and honor loses meaning when you look at it in this kind of a perspective. And so when something happens, you do something, and all of us, as the years go by, we accumulate a lot of experience. So you may do something. It takes a lot of time and energy and so on. And somebody may take that and claim it as their own work and make a great deal from it and get a lot of honor and so on and so forth, and then tells incorrect stories about you, which are defamatory, you see. Then Baba says, but this is drama. And it's not only drama, but it's a kind of a cartoon. All right? And so you can take it as entertainment, and you can understand that, well, that other person is doing according to their understanding, but that's not your understanding, you see. So when something like that happens, you always have to turn it around and see the profit for yourself. And I remember Dadi Jenki was talking about this, and she said a very, very interesting thing, which is an important spiritual law that you should know. Because this may happen to you from time to time. It's very normal in the Iron Age world. She said, you do the work, someone else takes the credit, you get the power. How about that? That's a very heavy-duty piece of information, you see, which will allow you to become completely independent of any kind of negative feelings that would normally happen in body consciousness if somebody else takes your work, takes the credit for it, and benefits themselves financially and in all kinds of other ways, and you are kind of thrown in the garbage there. But, okay, they get this temporary thing, but you get the power. I said, what is this power? You say, spiritual power. It's a very incognito thing, but as we move forward in our spiritual life, whenever we get a big exam or a small exam, that exam is filled with opportunity for us to move from operating at one level to operating at a completely different level. Right? So that means that if you're going to operate at a higher level, you have to have good power. Good power to have good yoga. If you want to have good yoga, you have to have power. Because you have to pull yourself against the pull of Maya. So every time you move forward, Maya ratchets up the amount of magnetic pull that it's going to exert on you. And so you have to keep up with it. And you have to be able to keep beyond it. Otherwise, as you go higher and higher in your spiritual journey, the example that Baba has given is the date tree. You climb up the date tree, but if you fall down, you break all your bones. But if you don't fall down, then you get the dates, which is the sweetness of heaven. And so as you go ahead in your spiritual practice, the distance that you can fall is bigger and bigger. And the risk of falling is also greater and greater. And so you have to be aware that any time some really big time negative thing happens to you, and if you handle it in a completely desireless way, in an egoless way, so that you have instant and easy acceptance, then you're going to accumulate special power to be able to move forward on the journey with kind of some extra protection or extra love from Baba, you see. And not everybody realizes this. Because as you move forward, you get various successes. Those successes are capable of corrupting you. So along with all the good things, you get so-called bad things happening too. So we need to be able to be detached from the good things, which enables us to have the power to handle the bad things, and then we can keep going forward. But if we become attracted and attached to our successes, then when the pull of Maya comes, we will not be able to handle it or resist it or overcome it, and then we could be out of the race. So Baba says it is a race. We're competing. We're not really competing against anyone. We're actually competing against ourselves. Because we're moving forward all the time. And we have to be prepared to move forward slowly enough. So sometimes what happens if you're not appreciated and all of this, then it means that or you're not included, or you're excluded, or you're marginalized, or you're left out, or you're sent to the far end of nowhere and left there for years together, you can actually accumulate the power of your tapasya. But your understanding of what's going on, your recognition that it takes time to build that kind of strength to be able to keep going all the way to the end of the road. And so Baba says, you know, stay on the pilgrimage, don't look back, don't look sideways, don't look down. Don't look up. Just stay forward, stay focused, and always know that whatever is happening is very beneficial. From a body conscious point of view, it may look like very bad, or it may look like very good, but we have to always use our third eye, which Baba has given us, and always check the past, present and future of every action. And be able to interpret what is going on so that we do not get held back in our spiritual journey, our spiritual progress. One thing that arises is jealousy. Jealousy. How do you know if you're jealous? Somebody gets name, regard, a better place, people think very highly of them, they get called, they get put in front, they get given opportunities, and you know, what about me? Why not me? Why is it always them? You see? And then you start to have negative thoughts about them. And you may get an opportunity to criticize them or to harm them in some way. Criticizing somebody is blackening their name, you see. And so this is because of a desire to have what they have. But it looks to you that, well, you know, this one doesn't deserve it because this, this, this and this. Or, well, look at them, you know, they didn't make this thing very well and still they got appreciated. And I made it so well and I didn't get appreciated. So you can get into comparison and criticism. And this is then a sign of desire to have what that person has, you see. And it takes the form of jealousy. And jealousy, you know, it's said that these different vices, they make you change color. So jealousy makes you yellow. No, fear makes you yellow. Jealousy makes you green. Right? And anger makes you red, and lust makes you dark, like this. So the different emotions will create a kind of tint over your face. And this will be the sign of desire. Huh? Greed? I don't know, what do you think? Brown? I don't know. But these other ones, you know, jealousy and envy, you know, they say green with envy, and when somebody's afraid they kind of turn pale and yellow. And then people get red hot with anger. So at least those ones are fairly well recognized. But, you know, the desire for name and fame is a form of greed, you know. And Baba says that obviously we know how to handle the vices in their gross form. But then they come in very, very subtle forms, because Maya, if we know what the Maya is, then we'll avoid it. But Maya will trap us by making something look very good. You know, another thing that Daddy Jenki has been saying recently is that somebody will think that they're doing the right thing, but it'll actually be wrong. And it doesn't matter how much you tell them that what they're doing is wrong, they believe it to be right, and so they'll carry on doing it. But eventually, it will become clear that it's wrong, you see. So for that, you have to have very good power of discrimination. And so the practice that Baba has asked us to do is to check ourselves, rigorously check ourselves at the end of every day, and calculate what has been our tests during the day, and did we handle them in such a way that we went forward, or did we get minus points for actually falling into the different traps. So when you sit in silence, and when you have to have this practice to stop every hour, any time you do a practice, it'll set up a resistance. And you will just find it very, very difficult to do that practice after a while. It's very easy, you know, stop for a second every hour, stop for a minute. Stop for 2 minutes, stop for 3 minutes. Even Baba had said 10 minutes every hour, and everybody went, oh my God, we got that? 10 minutes every hour? We said, okay, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. You know? But what he really wants is for us to really practice to be detached from getting pulled into the worldly world. And every time you go into silence, you can feel, if you do a serious practice of it, you can feel how much is the magnetic pull of the material world. It is strong. And so you have to kind of get through the resistance so that you actually build your internal muscle to be able to stop when everything wants you not to stop. I mean, traffic control will happen when you're about to eat a very tasty tolly. You can pop it in and have a minute of tasty tolly, or you can wait and then pop it in. You know. So your intellect says that you should wait, because it did start before it got in your mouth. But sometimes you'll just put it in anyway and start the traffic control after that. But then you're busy munching away. So you can't really be detached, because you went for the taste. I see. Or you have a 3 minute traffic control right when you get your dinner. I see. And you like it hot, right? wait for 3 minutes cold. So, you know, it lets you know that you have desire for things to be a certain way, and that when you follow the discipline, then you have to actually renounce that desire. You see? And in terms of the desire for respect, Baba has said that, you know, you can be insulted, and if you take that insult as an insult, or even it may not be that insulting, but you take it as an insult, it shows that you are empty and that you aren't experiencing Baba's constant companionship, because you're desiring to be filled from some humans. And this is a kind of ambivalence that we have, you know, because we do have a relationship with each other. We have a very special relationship with each other. And we are brothers and sisters, and we are service companions, and we have friendships in Gyan. And then sometimes you can forget that this is a role that's being played. And we become role conscious, and that will trap us, and we'll get caught, you see, by some or another little Maya that comes along. Or we'll see that somebody that we're very close with, they get all kinds of opportunities and they move ahead and so on and so forth, and they're not doing all the practices properly. You're doing all the practices and they're getting everything and you're not, you see. So that will test the quality of your relationship. You know, because actually all relationships are because of benefit. And Baba has said there isn't anything that anyone can do that's altruistic, you know, without some desire for benefit. But we can quite easily deceive ourselves into thinking that, oh, you know, I love this person and I'm cooperating with this person and we have a very nice relationship, and, you know, you start to have expectations, and it's very, very difficult to have a relationship with somebody where you're fulfilling the implications of the relationship and you never let the relationship get out of balance so that one starts to be in obligation to the other but not fulfill that obligation. This puts strain on the relationship. And then you start to have desires. Because desires come where you have lack of attainment, you see. And the drama will give us plenty of experiences of lack of attainment to make us forget that we actually do have many, many attainments, quite sufficient to make us completely satisfied. But when we do not recognize what we have, or we do not value what we have, or we do not see what we have, we see the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And then instead of being the soul who is completely satisfied, you start to see what's not there, and then you don't see what is there, and then you get taken away by desire. See, if you think of some of the, you know, the Buddhism is, Buddha had sat for many days under the Bodhi tree to figure out what is the cause of human suffering, and his conclusion is that it's desire. And the conclusion of the Gita also, desire is the problem. So we have to make ourselves free from desire. But by just becoming sannyasis, It doesn't actually do the trick. The only thing that works to make a person free from desire is when that person has actually developed all relationships with Baba, and that they're only interested in what Baba brings, and they're only interested in developing that relationship with Baba, so there is a give and take between the self and Baba. And there's even a song in bhakti, very famous song, that the soul who loves God says, "Oh God, I love your flowers and I also love your thorns." So even if there are negative experiences in the building of your relationship with God, it's still from God, you see. And those apparently negative experiences are even there, you know, he will test us. You don't think he won't test us. He will test our faith, he'll test our loyalty, he will test our love, he will test our genuineness, he will test everything. Because when we get tested, that's the only way that we can check how we're doing. You know, so if Baba would just give us everything unconditionally, then we would not get very far. So there are conditions on everything, on our relationship with him, so that this is the way that we can know if what we're doing is right, you see, or wrong. So as we get closer and closer to Baba, and our relationship becomes fuller, and he becomes more and more of your world, then the pull of the world starts to fall away. And you can really see, you know, that the only real reality is what's going on between myself and Baba. And the rest is a very complex game. And he's with us so that we can navigate our way through this game and become very skilled at handling all the balls that come to us in the game and play shots which carry us forward, you see. And so if we have this desire, or even if we don't think we have this desire, but if it is there, it will play out in the way we handle the game, and then we will get minus points. And when we get a minus point, we have to think, what's the problem? And very often it'll be, well, I was going for respect, regard, name, fame, honor, and I got deceived. I deceived myself by taking those things to be real. And I moved away from Baba. And then Baba will say, okay, see you someday. And you feel that your yoga with Baba is broken. You see. So there are consequences of having these desires because they compromise your relationship with Baba. And you can feel this very subtly in yourself and in how you interact with Baba and how you interact with the yajna, how you interact with the service companions and other brothers and sisters. And if you're really astute and honest at the end of the day when you check yourself, you'll be able to see how you went off track, and then you'll be able to keep yourself on track, you see. So when you're sitting in silence, and I do hope that everyone's going to take advantage of this opportunity for a silence bhati to really introspect and see your qualities, see how your relationship is with Baba, and then notice where you have any tendency to go off track. And then bring yourself back on track. And when any kind of negative anything arises, just go right through it. You know, a wave will come, but you just go over the wave, you know, and then keep going. So we'll have a few moments meditation, and there's going to be meditation all the way till 7:30. So Om Shanti.